What a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with to gather in His house to worship. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to praise Him this morning. Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this
beautiful Sunday morning. He's blessed us with a beautiful day to gather on this Lenten Sunday morning, the first Sunday in April. May we experience the glory of God in worship this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. You fill out a visitor's card and dropping it in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching this morning on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online this morning. I do want to remind you, for those that are watching online, that you can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can find our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for this time of worship today. Also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you're a first-time viewer, welcome. Glad you found our worship site today. Send me an email. Let me share who you are. Let me share what First Baptist Elon is all about. This afternoon, we'll remind our church family that at 4 o'clock, we have our Elon Roundtable meeting. This is our business meeting for our church, and we'll be meeting upstairs in the fellowship hall this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Following the roundtable meeting, 5 o'clock, we'll have our final session in our Lenten Bible study that we've been doing during the season of Lent called Seven Words. We've been looking at the words that Jesus spoke from the cross and how they speak to us during this time of the season of Lent and in our lives, our faith lives today. This afternoon, we'll be looking at that final statement that Jesus makes, "Into your hands." And I hope you'll join us today at 5 o'clock for that study. If you can't join us in person, I do want to remind you, all those sessions are also on Facebook Live. So you can watch it live with us at 5 p.m. This evening, or you can go at any time to our Facebook page and watch any of the sessions that we have done. But I encourage you to come if you're able to, just because the discussion is a lot better in person. Looking ahead to this week, we have lots of things going on. Tuesday morning, senior adult breakfast will be taking place at 9 a.m. at Grillworks. Tuesday afternoon, Golden Years will be going to the Golden Years Senior Center, bingo and birthday ministry at 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, Circle of Friends will be meeting to go out and visit at 1:45 p.m. And you're going to hear some more things about Circle of Friends, and a transition will be taking place over the next month that we're excited about. So just stay connected with that. You may have seen a little hint in the newsletter about that. You'll be hearing more about that later on in this month. Also, Wednesday night, of course, is choir practice at 6:30 p.m. Last Sunday, I reminded you about our April missions collection. We'll be collecting items for the Golden Years, that bingo and birthday ministry. All the list of items that are needed are in your bulletin. They're also in your April newsletter. You can drop any of those items off upstairs in the fellowship hall or in the large container in our communication center. Any of those items are needed. Please pick up those items when available so we can restock our supply for Golden Years. You'll hear about another collection we're doing in the coming weeks as well. And then I want to remind you that next Sunday, Holy Week finally arrives. We will be excited with the arrival of Palm Sunday next Sunday morning. That worship service will be at 11 a.m. You will not want to miss it. You'll also notice in your bulletin this morning the schedule for the other worship services that will take place. And you'll hear more about that next Sunday morning during Palm Sunday. So go ahead and mark your calendar. The entire schedule is in your bulletin. But it's also in your April newsletter. We're excited about the opportunities of worship during Holy Week here at First Baptist Elon. Last but not least, there's something that you may have seen in your newsletter. You will not see in your bulletin, but it's something that needs to be recognized. One of my faithful ministerial, she's shaking her hand already. One of my faithful minister partners up here with me is celebrating a special day tomorrow, and I'm going to pay for this later. I know this, but anyway, Dave's birthday is tomorrow. And we want to celebrate her for all the wonderful things that she does. And we're praying for a healthy and a happy birthday year for you. So I am no music director, but I know I can sing happy birthday. So now I want the congregation to join me in singing happy birthday to our beloved Gay. There we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. I am so going to pay for that. I'm going to lock my office and all doors that I have for the remainder of the year. But it is. Happy birthday. Now let us lift praise to the one who deserves all our glory, our God and King, this morning as we worship.
Well, thank you all so much. That means a lot. I was telling the several people this morning, I wish it was number 65, though, instead of 63, so I could be on Medicare. Let's praise the Lord this morning for all the great things he has done. Let's sing, "To God Be the Glory."
opening scripture reading is Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. When we gather in his presence and we recognize what he has done for him, what he's done for us, there's nothing else that we can do than sing with shouts of joy, and that's what we do today. Let us pray this morning. Holy Christ, come to this sanctuary, this house, this home, and let us receive you with lavish welcome. You are the restorer of our fortunes, the promise of new life, and we pour out our praise to you. Fill this room with your spirit, the sound of wind, the warmth of flame, the scent of perfume, and fill our hearts with your compassion, not just in this time and place, but in all times and in all places, so that as we celebrate the great things that you have done for us, we may also embody the love that you give to all. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This next song, you probably don't recognize the title of it, Living Hope, but we've sang it before. The choir sang it not too long ago. I hope you'll pick up on it and sing with us. Let's stand and sing Living Hope.
Thank you.
I shared last week, we will be having basically two mission in-gatherings during the month of April. First, our collection for the Golden Years Bingo and Birthday Ministry that I discussed last Sunday and mentioned a little bit earlier in our announcement time. Now, our second collection is directed towards our neighbors on this Elon campus of ours as their second semester begins to wrap up in the next few weeks. So as they prepare for the final exams that will be coming up shortly, we want to once again provide exam study bags or goodie bags for our college students. So our goal again this semester is to have 70 bags ready to go by the first week in May, ready to distribute to our Elon students when exam week arrives. Now these bags will be distributed to the Elon cheer team like we've done in the past, the Elon soccer team as we've done in the past as well, and our Elon students that gather here at First Baptist faithfully for our worship services. So we need your help. We need your help by bringing items for these bags. They can be dropped off. There are boxes upstairs in the fellowship hall and a box in the communication center that are designated specifically for the Elon study time, the goodie bags. So make sure you don't get them confused with the collection for Golden Years. There's two collection bins, so make sure you put in the right one. But our goal is to collect all these items by Tuesday, May 6th, and then we'll put the bags together following that time. So items can be dropped off during the month of April and early into May. Please drop those items. I'll pick up those items as well. And thank you in advance. And if you would like to help put those bags together, you can speak to Marie Allison, who helps with our college ministry team. So speak with her, and she'll more than happily get your assistance to help put those bags together in advance. So now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Earlene Mann for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Holy God, merciful Father, may our praise and worship today be pleasing to you and glorify your name. We are so grateful to experience the joy of being in your presence now and forever. Out of your love for us, you gave up your Son to save us, and in obedience to you, our beautiful Savior, as in the song a moment ago, made it possible for us to live now and into all eternity with you. So change our hearts, Lord, where need be, to genuinely love each other as you love us. Knowing that every good and perfect gift comes from you, we ask you to forgive us when we're tempted to hold on to our financial resources as well as our time and our energies. We believe we are blessed so that we can be a blessing. So help us to be good stewards of the gifts you've entrusted to us. Please accept our offerings today and multiply them that they may provide the means to support this church, to bless and serve others, and to glorify your name throughout this church community and the world. May we be drawn closer to you as we receive the message you've given David for us to hear today. Fill us with your Spirit that will motivate us to carry your love and grace outside this place. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. Would you once again join me in prayer as we prepare to encounter God's word once again this morning? Compassionate God, we do not always see the harvest of joy that we sow from our tears. Some losses take hold of us and we dwell in disappointment and grief. We don't always know what to think of you. We want to embrace new life, new hope, and new joy, but don't always know how. Bless us with your merciful help, that we might walk from our tombs like Lazarus and sit by Jesus' side, eating and laughing. Help us kneel at Jesus' feet in love and commitment as we celebrate our new lives. Come to us, healing God, and renew us and our love for you this day. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on this Lenten Sunday morning. And as I shared earlier, Holy Week is almost here. We're 1 week away. We hope you will join us for the numerous worship experiences that we will be having here at First Baptist during Holy Week. Also, community worship opportunities, specifically our community worship Good Friday service that will take place here at First Baptist Elon, and our community sunrise service that will take place at Holt Chapel on the campus of Elon on Easter Sunday morning. This morning, I will be continuing our Lenten sermon series, Lenten Tears, as we've been focusing on stories in Scripture specifically surrounding Jesus' life where tears have played a major role, and how these moments and these tears could teach us how we can grow closer to Him, because that's what the season of Lent is all about, growing closer to our Savior. But this morning, we're going to move away from Jesus' narrative a little bit. We're going to look at a tearful story actually found in the Old Testament. We're going to look at the closing chapter of the first book of the Bible, looking at Genesis chapter 50, and the closing chapter in the story of Joseph. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 50 this morning. Now, and as you do that, I'm going to go ahead and tell you in advance, we're going to kind of divide that last chapter up. I'm going to read the first half and the last half in just a few moments. There was a new trend about 20 years ago that was changing Chinese culture. And this trend was called the cry bar. And they could be found in all the major cities across China. The first cry bar opened in 2003 in the city of Nanjing with only a sofa, a few tables, and a couple boxes of tissue. Well, actually, let me change that. A bunch of boxes of tissue. Still today, cry bars in China average at least 10 customers a day, giving patrons a place where they can sit and, you guessed it, cry for however long they want to. Actually, it's $6 an hour, but you can go there and cry. Now, the owner of the very first cry bar, a man by the name of Luan Jin, says he opened the bar when clients of his last business said they often wanted to cry, but they did not know when or where it would be appropriate to do so. What does that say about society? When or where it is appropriate to cry. Now, a cry bar. Now, it seems silly, but is it really? This could be another alternative to Prozac or expensive psychotherapy if we think about it. And let's not belittle the approach of these cry bars. A good cry is very therapeutic. One might say worth every single penny of that $6 an hour. In fact, a good cry is absolutely necessary for healing after a loss, and is also very beneficial to our relationships and even to our Christian faith. So this morning we're going to look at an Old Testament passage of Scripture and see the benefits of our main character, Joseph, and the fact that he had good cries very regularly. And how not only do these good cries help his faith relationship with God, but also his relationship with his family members. And that's why my sermon is titled, A Good Cry. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 50. We're going to read the entire last chapter of this last chapter of Genesis. And as we look at these final moments of the life of Joseph, what we're going to see is the grieving process of Joseph for his father. We're also going to see restoration of relationships. So we're going to read first verses 1 through 14, take a little bit of break, and then we'll come back to read verses 15 through 26. Reading Genesis 50, 1 through 14 this morning, the words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. Joseph threw himself upon his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's court, "If I have found favor in your eyes, speak to Pharaoh for me. Tell him, my father made me swear an oath and said, I am about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father, then I will return." Pharaoh said, "Go up and bury your father as he made you swear to do." So Joseph went to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court and all the dignitaries of Egypt, besides all the members of Joseph's household and his brothers and those belonging to his father's household. Only their children and their flocks and herds were left in Goshen. Chariots and horsemen also went up with him. It was a very large company. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad near the Jordan, they lamented loudly and bitterly. And there Joseph observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father. When the Canaanites who lived there saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "The Egyptians are holding a solemn ceremony of mourning." That is why that place near the Jordan is called Abel Mizraim. So Jacob's sons did as he commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had brought as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite, along with the field. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. So Joseph's father, Israel, had just passed away. So Joseph goes into the mourning period that a son would do so for his father. What we see in the very first few verses is that 70 days was spent in mourning initially. That's just initially. 40 days for the embalming process and 30 more days in additional mourning. Now, 70 days is just 2 days shy of the normal mourning period for the Egyptian Pharaoh. Now, I want to repeat that again. For the Egyptian Pharaoh, they would have spent 72 days in mourning. For Israel, for Joseph's father, they spent 70 days in mourning. What does that mean? They held this man in great esteem. They held Joseph in great esteem, and they held his father in great esteem. 70 days of mourning, that is a lot. They esteemed this man. So after these 70 days of mourning, Joseph is in no condition to see the Pharaoh face to face. His face is unshaven. His eyes are bloodshed. During mourning, you wear the same clothes. You don't bathe yourself. You don't shave yourself. You look rough. Think about it. Think about the last time you were sick and you didn't take care of yourself for just a few days. And then you looked in the mirror and you said to yourself, "Who is that person staring back at me?" You've been there, right? Add 70 days. 70 days. So instead of going to meet Pharaoh face to face, personally, Joseph asked some of Pharaoh's servants to give Pharaoh a message about what he wants to do next. Joseph wants to go bury his father in his homeland. Now, this does not sound like a great, grand request, but we have to remember Joseph has already spent 70 days in mourning. Now he is asking for even more time to grieve his father. And the Pharaoh's response is simply, go. But not just go. Don't just go. I'm going to send all my dignitaries of the court with you to go and mourn and to bury your father. So Joseph's family and the entire Egyptian court heads back to the homeland to bury Israel. Now, this is more than a police car and a few cars lined up to drive to the cemetery across the road. This was a long trip, and they had everybody going with them. When Egypt traveled, they traveled nice, and they had all the bells and whistles. So when everybody came, when they went passing through their land, everybody would stop. Everybody would stop and say, who is this person being honored? And the answer was Israel. Chariots and horsemen were part of the processional. It was a very large company. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad near the Jordan River, the Egyptian dignitaries began to lament and cry loudly. They were having a good cry. And Joseph stopped and observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father there. Joseph had a good cry, not just stifling a few sniffles here. He and his entourage are heaving great sobs and wails of grief, so much so it stopped the group for 7 days, and all the neighbors in that area were stopping and watching and seeing what was going on. Why? Because this was the first time that Joseph had returned home. We have to remember that. Joseph hadn't been home in 39 years. 39 years before, at the age of 17, Joseph was sold as a slave and forced to leave his home. Now, at the age of 56, he returns home to bury his father. No wonder he is overcome with so much grief, so much so that his fellow travelers are mourning too. So Joseph's not just mourning that his father has passed away, Joseph is also mourning the fact that he has returned home. What a wonderful time to have a good cry. And they renamed the place Abel's Mizraim, which literally means the mourning of the Egyptians. Joseph fulfills the promise made to Jacob that he would be buried in his homeland. Then Joseph and the rest return to Egypt. After 77 days or maybe a few more days there of mourning, he returns home. Joseph had a good cry when his father died, and not just a little one, but a lot. Now, Joseph was a man of great faith. And to persevere through 13 years of slavery and imprisonment, able to forgive his brothers who sold him into slavery, and able to rise to the top of Egyptian leadership, all because he truly believed that God was in control. Joseph was also a great leader, whose abilities were demonstrated at every level of responsibility that he had been given. First, as a slave in Potiphar's household. Then, as a steward in Pharaoh's prison. And finally, as the prime minister of all of Egypt. Joseph was a man of great faith. He was a great leader, but he also shed a great many tears, which in no way diminished his faith or his ability to lead. In Genesis 42, Joseph cries when his brothers first come to Egypt for the very first time to buy food. He had a good cry. In Genesis 43, Joseph cries again when they return the second time. He has a good cry. In Genesis 45, Joseph once again cries as he reveals to them who he truly is. He has a good cry. Now, in Genesis 50, we see Joseph crying again when his father dies. The idea that strong men do not cry is a lie. So if you perpetuate that lie, stop. Strong men cry. That deserves an amen. That deserves amen from the men in this congregation. Amen, men. Strong men cry. Tears are not a sign of weakness. They are actually a sign of strength. If we need proof, just look at our Savior. Isaiah 53 says the Messiah will be a man of sorrows. Jesus wept at the graveside of Lazarus. During his prayer life, Jesus was said to offer up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. Jesus cried, so there is no shame if we do as well. In fact, our tears are precious to the Lord. In Psalm 56, David says to the Lord, "You keep track of all of my sorrows." He's talking to God. "You keep track of all of my sorrows. You have collected all of my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." Did you realize in ancient times, tear bottles, which are called lacrimatories, were actually used for collecting the tears at the mourning of a funeral? They actually literally collected the tears. Then these bottles were actually placed in the tombs of those who died. Psalm 56 says, "God, collect my tears in his lacrimatory." It says his tear bottle, not our own tear bottle, that God collects our tears in his tear bottle. In other words, God cries too when we cry, and he mixes our tears with his own. So do not be ashamed or afraid to cry. In fact, if you want to experience the benefit of tears, go ahead and have a good cry right now. Go ahead. It's okay. Weep and wail if you need to, because our tears are precious to God. On a side note, do you know the problem with a lot of sympathy cards? When I go to Hallmark, for example, I usually spend a lot of time looking for cards. I may go in to buy a birthday card for Jennifer or an anniversary card for my wife, but I find myself just picking up cards and reading them. So maybe they give me a great sermon illustration, and I actually went to the sympathy area the other day just to see. Did you realize that the problem with sympathy cards are this? They try their best to talk people out of the grieving process. If you don't believe me, next time you're in Hallmark, spend some time in the sympathy section. They will try their best to talk you out of the grieving process, but grief is absolutely necessary for people to heal. So, the next time you're going to send a sympathy card to someone, write it yourself. And say, "Have a good cry. It's okay. I'll cry with you." Just a thought. Maybe I should work for Hallmark. Carissa Smith of Wheaton, Illinois, shared a story about taking her four-month-old daughter on a trip to the library. The baby girl babbled softly as Carissa browsed through the books, but as they made their way through the stacks, Carissa heard an older man gruffly say, "Tell that kid to shut up or I will." Angrily, Carissa responded, "I'm very sorry for whatever in life caused you to be so disturbed by a happy baby, but I will not tell my baby to shut up, and I will not let you do so either." She braced herself, expecting an outburst from the older gentleman. Instead, he looked down, he took a deep breath, and said softly, "I'm sorry." He looked up at Carissa with tears rolling down his cheek, and they remained silent. Finally, he looked at Carissa's baby, who smiled at him and happily kicked her arms and legs. He wiped his eyes and said slowly and softly, "My son died when he was 2 months old." Carissa moved to sit in the chair next to the older gentleman. He went on to explain that his son had died from SIDS over 50 years ago. He described how his anger grew, leading to a failed marriage and isolation eventually. Carissa asked him to tell her more about her son, about his son, and he did so. He smiled back and forth with her daughter. Eventually, he asked to hold her baby, and as he held her, his shoulders relaxed, and he briefly laid his cheek on her head. He shed a few more tears, and then he returned the baby back to her mother with a heartfelt thank you. Carissa thanked him for sharing his story, and then he quickly departed. You see, we cannot go around the grief to avoid it. We must go through it in order to grow. For if we try to avoid the grief, then like this older gentleman, we just become bitter, not better, in the pain. A Greek playwright once wrote, "Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart until, in our own despair, against our own will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God." Romans 5 puts it this way: we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and ultimately character hope. So again, I encourage you to have a good cry if you need to. Then let your tears draw you close to one another, to those around you. Let your tears wash away the old grudges and help you renew and strengthen your relationships with other people. Let your tears make you tender towards those others, especially those that are tough and rough. And that's what Joseph's tears did. Picking back up with our story, verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the things that we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knee. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. So when the message came to Joseph that his brothers were afraid and were seeking out his forgiveness, what does he do? He wept. Joseph wept. He had a good cry. He also states that it is God's place to punish, not ours. Romans 12:19 says, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Joseph did not play God. Instead, he trusted God to bring good out of the evil that his brothers intended for him. So Joseph did what he was called to do. He comforted them, and he spoke close to the heart. And through his tears, Joseph trusted God, and he loved his brothers. Instead of holding a grudge against them, he was gracious towards them. And that is what our tears can do for us, if we choose to let them. They can make us tender towards one another, or they can make us tough to get along with. We have that choice. Tears can open our hearts, or they can close our hearts. The choice is ours. Miroslav Volf, a Croatian theologian, says, "To triumph fully, evil needs two victories, not one. The first victory happens when an evil deed is perpetrated, but the second victory is when evil is returned. After the first victory, evil would die if the second victory did not infuse it with new life." So please, do not infuse evil with new life by returning it to the perpetrators. Instead, like Joseph, trust God to do his part and love your brothers and your sisters. Let your tears open your heart and not close it off. Yvonne Pointer was a rebellious teenager. She experimented with drugs when she was younger. She dropped out of school and she was pregnant at the age of 16. 3 years later, on May 4th, 1975, she came to faith in Christ and her life was turned around. However, less than 10 years after that, Pointer experienced what some say is the greatest pain on earth, the loss of a child. On December 6, 1984, her then 14-year-old daughter, Gloria, the oldest of her three children, was attacked and murdered while on her way to school in Cleveland, Ohio. After she died, Pointer admits, "I would spend hours in the church building when no one was there because it did not make sense to me. I had come through drugs, through street life, and now this." Pointer could not fathom that this would happen to a Christian, but because she knew God personally, where did she go? She went to God. People from the church rallied around her, washing clothes, cooking, cleaning when she did not have the strength to go on. Slowly, a new sense of direction emerged. In the beginning, it was all about the injustice done to my child, period, Pointer says. But soon, I became aware of other families in similar situations. She wrote letters. She talked to the police, to reporters, to anyone who would listen. She hoped to find a celebrity or somebody important to help in the situation. She says, "I spent 5 years looking for a famous person to come to Cleveland to help us. In the meantime, I did the work I wanted that person to do because they never came." In that period, she co-founded Parents Against Child Killing, which later morphed into Positive Plus, a women helping women organization. "We started out with mothers who had lost children," Pointer said, "but I found out that pain is pain is pain. If your husband walks out and leaves you with five children, that is pain. We felt we could find solutions by helping each other in their pain. Today, Painter's day job is in Cleveland's community relations office. But she's also a writer, a speaker, and a tireless advocate for child safety. She speaks in prisons, sharing the loss of her child, but at the same time sharing the love of Christ with the inmates. She says, I found hatred too heavy a load to carry. Forgiveness releases you to live. God does not need a perfect person. He needs a willing person to love and to serve." Yvonne Pointer let her grief open her heart to others, not close it off. And that is what Christ did for us in his pain. While we were still sinners, while we were God's enemies, he came to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. It took the death of God's Son to bring us back to God. Then, with God's help, let your tears draw you even closer to him and to each other. But more than that, let your tears be the foundation of your faith and your relationship with God's children. Let your tears wash away the doubts and increase your faith in the Lord. Let your tears make you lean on Christ a little more and give you an even greater trust in his promises. This is what Joseph did. This is what he did for his entire life, but especially in those final years. The final verses of Genesis chapter 50 tell us that Joseph lived to be 110 years old. According to Egyptian records, 110 years old is the ideal lifespan. And for 110 years of life, Joseph had good cries. We can do the same. Throughout his life, Joseph's tears taught him to trust God. Whether as a slave, a prisoner, or a prime minister, God had promised him that he would be with him. His tears served as a reminder. Even on his deathbed, the promises still held true. Joseph's tears increased his faith in the Lord, and our tears can do the exact same thing for us if we will let them. They can draw us close to God. And they can give us an even greater trust in his promises. Now, it's easy to believe when things are going well, those simple truths. But when we are shedding tears, let they serve as a reminder of God's promises in our lives. Please let God do that for you in and through your tears. It's okay. It's okay to cry because God is waiting and ready for that good cry. He's ready to wrap his arms around you and cry right along with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being a compassionate, loving God who loves us in the range of emotions that we have. And that when we have that good cry, you are right there embracing us, catching our tears, loving us through it all. Father, thank you for allowing us to be vulnerable in front of you, and thank you for allowing our tears to bond stronger relationships with our family members, our friends, and our community. Thank you, God. Amen. As we come to sing our closing hymn today, maybe for the first time you've shed a tear realizing that Jesus Christ has given his life for you. If that's where you are this morning, I'll be down front to embrace you as a brother and sister in Christ and to share about that love. Maybe you're looking for a church family who seeks to be vulnerable in the presence of God and seeks to honor him through our service, through our tears. First Baptist Elon could be that home as well. Or maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you know you need to have a good cry and those tears just will not fall. Come, I'll pray with you. I'll help you. Maybe I can help you bring some tears. Or maybe you need to come to the altar and leave them before God today. Whatever it is, do it today. Don't wait. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
leave today, go out into a world that needs to see the vulnerability of shedding tears, but know that those tears are a presentation of our love in Christ. Share that love with others. Go in peace. And I hope to see you at 4 o'clock for Roundtable.